to Marriage Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praised.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. We're in the second half of today's edition of Marriage Beyond the Vows, and we thank you so much for listening to us today. We're talking about, is your spouse hiding something? That is the direction we're taking with the conversation this morning. Feel free to give us a call at 855-454-5905. Marcos, we have Jay on the line calling from Philadelphia with an interesting question about controlling the marriage. Jay, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My question is, I've been recently convicted by others about James 4, 1 through 10, about how to stop subconsciously taking control over my marriage. Because I've been married for about 9 years, but most of my life I've been by myself, and I'm in a blended family. And I'm just, it was just so convicting. It just, you know, brought tears, but I was just trying to grasp the right way of submitting myself to God and not taking in that controlling attitude in subconsciously in my marriage.
Well, Jay, let me ask you a question. Could you give us an example of something that you do or that takes place?
Well, I try to do everything, and if it doesn't go my way, I get angry. And I think that's the big thing. The anger, it really enrages everything. And then there's like a big argument and everything. And it says like here, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Mm-hmm. Don't you come from your desires to battle within you? Mm-hmm. And I'm like saying to myself, it's in me, because I had been in a marriage before that went totally out of control. And I remarried, and I thought that I had myself in control, but I saw that I was still trying to run everything, because I had been it had been a time since I had remarried, and I had wanted to do everything my way.
I hear you.
Instead of blending with the blended family.
You know what, I think it starts with this, Jay. You got to ask why. It's
why?
Always why. Like, you got to ask yourself, like, why is it so important for you to feel in control? Why is it so important? Have you ever heard the expression of, there's a certain level, of an acceptable level of out of control? You ever heard that before?
No, I haven't.
Let me tell you,
I've heard a certain level of out of control.
Control is good, but there's a certain level that we need to be at peace with, that out of control will be okay. You know, like, you know, no one likes a micromanager, right? No one appreciates a micromanager. I mean, people don't mind being managed as much. They don't mind being coached. But a micromanager, I mean, just think about like a sports team where a coach not only, you know, tells you what to do, but how to do it every moment, and not give the person the freedom to do it in the best way that they can. Or an actor who gets a script and it's told exactly how they must do it without giving them the freedom to express it in their own ability and own talent. I mean, that's where the beauty comes, right? When people have their own, you know, freedom and autonomy to be able to express themselves. So what happens here, Jay, is if you control everything, then everyone around you will be miserable. And you'll also be miserable, because no one will be able to live up to it. So what's an example of that, right? Well, so my wife, I'm clean, but she's a total neat freak. I mean, she really is. Everyone knows it. You people that know us well, they know they can come to my house at any time and our house is clean.
Okay.
That's not how I am. I mean, you know, I'm not like Sloppy Joe, but I'm like, you know, I'm not as meticulous and as clean as my wife. So when our children were little, she would, you know, if I stayed with my kids, I could only do one thing. I mean, I give it to mothers. I don't know how some of them are able to multitask the way they do. But I wasn't able to take care of my kids, cook, clean, and take a phone call. I mean, I could just do one. And for me, it would be take care of the kids. So I wouldn't be able to really answer the phone. I wouldn't be able to cook, so I order out. I mean, I just couldn't do it all. So when my wife would come home and I've taken care of the kids, I mean, I've given them my undivided attention, but the house would be kind of messy. You know, the food they ate, you know, would, some of it would be on the floor. And unless they were asleep, I couldn't pick it up. And so sometimes I used to drive her crazy. Like, why can't you do all this? And I'm like, honey, I just have to break it down for you. I could only do one thing at a time. That's all I can do. And she understood that. And we learned to work together. And what I'm saying is she had a preference, but she knew she can't control this. I can't do it that way. And obviously my kids grew up. They're a lot more independent. It's not an issue anymore. But at that time, it was a real issue. So I think going back to that initial question, Jay, why? Why do you feel like you need to control so much in your marriage?
Well, I mean, because I had lived a life where it was so much up and down, up and down, and some disastrous relationships that it just, and I'm basically a child who was like given away from the parents. Mm-hmm. So I never knew my biological family. And then the guardian family, they were just as messed up as everything. And now they've all passed away. So, I mean, I'm just saying, why is I'm like, it's so, been so independent and not accepting the fact that I had come to the marriage through God. And I have a family and I have a blended family. And I just only want to try to do everything the way I have learned, and not be willing to compromise and work it out and not get angry. And I think that's been my biggest issue, is that getting angry and frustrated over little simple things and not just saying, okay, and letting it go on and move on.
Well Jay,
I can't understand why I cannot just let it go and move on. And
I can tell you why.
Everything works out.
But Jay, this is why. Ephesians 4:26 says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. We forget that anger is not always bad. There's a reason. Now, giving into the anger, it's bad, right? It's what you do when you're angry. So what usually gets you angry? I could tell you what gets me angry. And it could be with my wife or my kids or just in general. When I get angry, it's when something annoys me and hurts me and frustrates me. I mean, that's just going to make me angry, right? So in that anger, if I give into the sin, I'm going to get loud. I'm going to do something. And really what it is me wanting to be in control.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like you want. So
yeah, that's just exactly how I've been doing for so long. And I can't understand why I cannot.
But this is why.
It says in here, like, to take it to God and let Satan get away from you. Mm-hmm. But I said I tried to, and it just, for some reason, is stuck. I mean,
but this is why. Let me finish.
I have to talk about it.
Let me finish.
Yeah, okay.
Anger and screaming giving into the anger actually works. And so now it doesn't really work, right? It only works temporarily. It alienates people. It doesn't help your marriage, but you usually get your way. So, for example, with my kids, if they're not, let's say I want my kids to clean the room and they're not doing it, and I come in like, why don't you clean the room? Whatever. Then out of fear, out of anger, they'll do it. They'll pick up whatever they need to pick up. But guess what? Did I really accomplish what I wanted? Yeah, they picked up their room. They cleaned up whatever. But now they're hurt. Now they're distant from me. Now they're exasperated. That's not what I want. What I really want is my kids to grow and want to have a clean room on their own when right. I'm not there. And so what you have to tell yourself, Jay, is, you know, is your solution really working? And honestly, no, it's going to hurt your marriage. So you have a blended family, so only going to alienate you not only from your wife, but from her kids, you know, or it's going to be the same. It's going to alienate your kids from her, you know, and it's just not going to be good. So it's really understanding and saying, God, this is what I want. I want a great marriage. I want to be connected with my wife. I don't want my wife just to be afraid of me or to walk on eggshells. So what I want is for her to to want to do these things. So what do I do? I take a deep breath. I'm praying. I'm doing the right thing. And you know what? It sounds like you're going to have help from other people that hold you accountable. Do you have that? Yeah. Do you have people in your life that can help you?
Yeah. Like I said, I was in a session with other brothers who are part of my church. And we were just having a married men session. And it just came out that, you know, I was not humbling myself. I was not, all I wanted to do is control everything. And I said, it's not outwardly, I just subconsciously, it was locked in my mind. And I just said to myself, man, and when I read the scriptures over the next day, I said, this is talking about me.
Yeah.
James 4, 1 through 10, it's talking about me. And I'm like saying to myself, I've been in the church for 15 years, and I said, how can I get it out of me? Because I had been praying, and it was saying to you that you pray for the wrong things. You pray for your pleasure and not sincerely to God.
Yeah, yeah.
And Jay, no.
Well, Jay, listen, we got to move on here, but thank you so much for your call. It sounds like you're on the right track, though, because at least you see what it is now. And so you're able to deal with it. So, again, we thank you so much. Thank you for calling.
Thank you for sharing. I appreciate all your help. Thank you very much. And you guys have a great one.
All right.
Thank
God bless you,
too.
Bye-bye. Take care.
All right. If you're just tuning in, it's Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise Your Inspiration Station. The question is your spouse hiding something? Give us a call at 855-454-5905. We're going to take a brief pause, but we'll be right back with more conversation after this.
Marriage Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praised.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome back. We are in the final segment of today's edition of Marriage Beyond the Vows. We're talking about, is your spouse hiding something? We welcome your phone calls at 855-454-5905. You can also post your questions and comments on the Facebook page. So go to Marriage Beyond the Vows on Facebook.com. And that is our second favorite book. Of course, the first favorite is the Bible. But we're going to check in with the second favorite book right now to see what people are talking about.
All right. All right. Well, again, we do want to hear from you. We want you to go ahead and give us a call. We can't do this without you, right? We want to have the conversation. We want to be able to help you from the scriptures. And the best way to do that, right, is to give us a call at 855-454-5905. And probably not the best way, but another way to do it is to hit us up on Facebook. So if you decide to do that during the week, hey, we can stay connected. But if you do that right now during the show, we might be able to get to your comment or to your question. And so I'm going to go to a few of them really quickly here. One of them is Shanta Renee says, Dave, stay the course. Dave was one of our previous callers. And Dave just shared about the struggle in his marriage and how he wants his wife to meet more of his needs, his intimate sexual needs. And so says Shanta says, Marco's great, great, great spiritual advice to him. I prayed for this marriage while hearing you speak to him. God honors marriage. Then also we have Lisa Evans saying, yes, it's a difference. And she's responding to the question we had posted earlier in the week about, you know, should there be a difference between a Christian and a non-Christian, a non-believer's marriage? It says, when we got married, we were not Christians. 15 years ago, Christ gave me the desire to follow him, and I did. But my husband did not and still doesn't to this day. So I keep on praying for his salvation. I have to remember the scripture that says we're accountable for ourselves. I can remember one time he started pornography on the internet. Now, that's a spirit I wasn't allowing in my house. So I put the motor for the computer in the trunk of my car and kept it there because praying that my husband will be released from that bondage. And God helped them to overcome that. We still have other issues, but I learned to fear the Lord and he comes first. So he helps me not put up with things that go against him. And now we have been married for over 27 years and God gets all the glory. Amen. We love that, Lisa. Great, great input there. I hope and pray, even as our previous caller, one of them shared about the struggle with her being engaged. I believe it was Renisha, and how her fiance is actually in pornography. Perhaps she can reach out to you on Facebook and you can share a little bit more about your indignation and what you were able to do there to help change that situation and how you took it to God. Also, Sheila Mack says, I think the world today has set their own understanding of marriage. Excuse me, for the one they don't fight for their marriage, or they have these elaborate weddings they cannot afford, and the sign of trouble, they fight each other instead of fighting for each other. It is sad, and hope God will continue to love us and keep us for all who believe. And the list goes on and on and on. We have so much more that is posted on Facebook. Again, we invite you, if you've not already done so, to visit us at our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/beyondthevows. And another way that we can also encourage you to stay connected is go to our website, praisephilly.com. praisephilly.com. Not only can you connect with us on Marriage Beyond the Vows, but you can just find out what we have going on Praise Your Inspiration Station, events, giveaways, all that good stuff, even encouraging articles, and you can go there. And if you want to listen to archive shows, you can go ahead and go to praisephilly.com. Look for me, Marcos Mercado, and you'll be able to listen to shows from the past and encourage your friends to listen as well.
All right. And with that said, again, the number is 855-454-5905. We'll take your calls at this time. So we have Maria calling in on line one from Philadelphia. Maria, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
Morning, Maria. What is your comment or question for us today?
I've been married for a year and a half now. I married my husband in prison. We were together for almost 8 years. We have a son together, but he got locked up when we were just dating, and he's been locked up for 6 years. And I stood by his side, and because I love him, you know, and we have a child together, and I decided to marry him a year and a half ago. So now that we're married, it just seems a lot harder. And I've been feeling lately like I don't know if I can do it anymore because I'm doing it all alone. I don't have his support. Really, I don't have any type of support. Very hard being married, you know, and your husband's incarcerated. But he doesn't know that I feel this way. I've been feeling angry and resentful, and I know that God doesn't want me to feel this way towards my husband.
Okay, well, let's get this straight and get this clear. So you met him while he was in jail?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, we were together. He was my neighbor.
Okay, he was your neighbor. And
yes.
Then, so how did you end up, when he was incarcerated, you started visiting him and you developed a romantic relationship? Is that what happened?
No. We were dating. We had a child together before he got locked up.
Okay. So you were dating. You were already in a relationship with him, ended up having a child, but you were not married or in a relationship with him.
No. At that time, I wasn't saved.
So, all right. So, and of course, you weren't saved. You were not doing the right thing. What shifted from that point to getting romantically involved and even going to the point of getting married?
You know, he was doing things in the street that he had no business. And we were living together, and he got locked up. And he was sentenced to 10 years in prison.
Wow.
And I stuck by his side. And from day one, when he got locked up, you know, I would go up there every week and take my child, and I just stood by his side. And then when he got upstate where they were able to do prison marriages, and he asked me to marry him.
So you married him while he was in jail?
Yeah.
And then when he came out?
He's not out. He's still there.
Oh, he hasn't come out at all?
No.
I thought he came out and then went back in. Okay.
No, he never came out. He's 6 years in, and he has 10 years. So he has 4 more years to go now.
All right, so he has 4 years. So you're beyond, you're more than halfway there. So
yeah.
Do you believe he's a changed man? When he comes out, is he going to be different? And
yes, I honestly do. He has matured. He has changed so much. You know, but I still have fears. You know, I still have doubts because they say, you know, they all change and go.
Of course.
But to me, it seems like it's very sincere that he loves his family. And it seems that he wants to put God first in our marriage. And I do too. But lately, I've just been feeling a little angry and resentful.
Why?
Because I've been doing everything by myself. You know, I miss him. It's hard. Some days he's 3 hours away. So I have to drive 3 hours there and 3 hours back. And it's just really frustrating at times. And it's like some days I feel like I don't know if I can keep doing this. I know we're halfway through.
You're more than halfway through. Well, two things. Let me interject here. Number one, Maria, I think this is what the scriptures talk about in the book of Luke when it talks about counting the cost. You married him while he was in prison. You knew that this is not going to be easy. So, you know, when you make your marriage vows, not everybody knows where they're heading into. But in a lot of ways, you knew this is his, you know, you had a 10-year sentence. This is what it's going to take to ride through. And you've done great up until this point, right? You've made it work. You're just becoming weary. You're getting tired, but you're closer. And let me tell you, you got just, if you look at it like this, like I said before, you're more than halfway through and just persevere. And in that time, really prepare your heart and pray that God prepares his heart, because it's probably even easier now than it will be later. Because the real test is going to come out when he's out. And that's when you can't see right now. If you have a disagreement, he's 3 hours away. He's locked up. And so every time you see him, it's like it could be a good, happy reunion. When you marry to someone and you live with them, you know, the temptation a lot of people have is to run away because they're around them all the time. This is the person you sleep with. This is the person when you wake up, they're there. This is the person if you have an argument and they hurt you. They are there. And so your marriage is truly going to be, you know, put to the test. Plus his fatherhood, you are used to being independent. I mean, there's a lot of things you're going to have to prepare yourself. I will look at this as the time to truly prepare yourself spiritually, emotionally, so that when he comes home, you're able to be set up for success. And him too, even though he's incarcerated, doesn't mean he can't prepare, you know, learn more about God and get stronger spiritually so that he can be that husband. So that's number one, is counting that cost. You've counted it. Now you got to continue to build until you finish.
Yeah.
And the second one is, you know, I love what it talks about in the book of Genesis. And it talks about in Genesis 29, verse 20, it says, Jacob served 7 years to get Rachel, but he seemed only like a few days to him because of his love for her. That when you truly love someone and you're working on it, yes, it's hard to wait, but the waiting seems like nothing because you truly love somebody. That is worth the wait. Because what's the alternative? You give up and you end the marriage, and then he gets out, he's with someone else, or you end up with someone else. Is that really what you want, or do you want him?
Yeah, I definitely want my husband.
Okay.
I do. I miss them. It's just, I guess I'm just a little weary. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I feel like I don't have support, you know, support from anybody. And so it's hard when you don't have that support. I do go to church, but I don't really feel like I have a support system.
And you don't. And maybe that's what God needs to send you, someone that can relate in some way, and praying for that and saying, God, you know, I recently read an article about it was actually started as a funny story, but it's a guy who had to get his leg amputated. right? So, but it was scheduled, right? He had these tumors on his foot, and so he had to get this leg amputated. But before he got amputated, he decided to do like this blog and like do fun things with his foot before it was amputated. So he like went skydiving. He went and he did all these things, and in that process, he was very nervous, and he found a guy who had very similar background, who had also, you know, who became an amputee as well, and he was able to get support from this person who has been through it. And that just struck me. I said, you know, we don't always realize that the Bible says, seek and you will find, ask and the door, you know, ask and the door will be open, right? Knock and the door will be open. It's like sometimes we don't ask. It's like asking God, you know what, I'm alone. I don't feel the support. God, can you send me some mature women that could probably relate? I'm sure there are other women out there who have been through something similar that can help support you. And maybe that support would really come in handy when he gets home.
Yeah.
So I will say, listen, start praying now. God, set us up to win. Give us the tools. Give us everything we need to be successful. Mm-hmm. And I want to leave you with this passage, okay, this last scripture here. Okay. Galatians 5, verse 9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up.
Okay.
Don't give up. Don't give up now, because you're about to reap this harvest. Your husband will be coming home before you know it. Really, 48 months. Look at it like that. All righty. Well,
thanks so much.
No problem, Maria.
All right. Take care.
You have a blessed day.
All right, bye-bye. Before we get another caller on the line, again, the number is 855-454-5905. When you were talking about this, slightly off topic, but slightly not, it just reminded me of a video I saw. There's a TV show coming out in the fall called Red Band Society, mm-hmm. and it takes place in a children's hospital. And that exact same story is part of the storyline in the show, but it's about children who have, you know, diseases and illnesses who are in this particular ward of a hospital.
Wow.
And it covered a young man who's about to get his leg amputated because he has cancer.
Wow.
And he connects with a patient who already had his leg amputated. So
exactly.
The idea of, you know, needing that and seeking that and actually finding someone who's gone through it already can really strengthen how you deal with the situation as you go through
it. Well, you know, it's so true. And we probably quote this all the time, right? We have not because we ask not. Mm-hmm. And a lot of us don't really know what to ask for. And because we don't ask for it, we're not even looking for the solution. Mm-hmm. I think there's something about going to God in prayer. I mean, God already knows what we need before we ask. But I think that prayer part is, a lot of it has to do with us knowing what to expect so that our eyes and our hearts could be open for it. So here in this case, Maria is going through this difficult situation where a lot of people can't relate. Mm-hmm. But let's all be honest. If you've not been in a situation like that, your husband's in jail, he has to wait 4 years for him to get home. I mean, it doesn't mean we can't encourage her or her close family and friends can't encourage her, but they can't relate. So.
Right.
It's not the same, but someone who's been through it is able, you know, to help and relate in ways that no one else can, and that can be a huge support system.
Right, and that's needed across the board. We are going to take your calls at 855-454-5905. Let's go to Jackie calling in from Philadelphia. Jackie, good morning. You're live on the air.
Hi. I've been married for like 2 years, and my husband got sick last November.
Okay.
But the problem is, I work construction. Okay. Before I got out the door in the morning, he want me to tell him that I'm going out the door. I have no problem with that. But like sometimes my job had me to work long hours, like 10 hours a day. He don't want me working 10 hours a day. He didn't bring nothing into the relationship. Like I bought the home and the cars and, you know, all the material stuff, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And he don't want my son living there. He goes out in the street and he talks to people about our problems. You know, I can get up in the morning, kiss him goodbye, tell him I'm going out the door, or he'll stay out and late, and I will leave out the door, and I'll tell him I leave, and he might not know that I'm leaving. I had roommates in the house. He'll come downstairs and talk to them, about me like a dog. He'll go to church and talk to me about different people like a dog. Well, the new issue is that he's miserable. He don't want to live in my home no more.
So why doesn't he go?
That's what I told him. I said, if you don't, if you're not happy here, won't you just leave, you know? But I guess because, you know, like I said, we've only been married 2 years. You know, he's telling his family members that, you know, that he's not happy. He's not happy there. And I mean, I don't ask him for no money. He only gets, like, he gets Social Security a month. I make more money than he do. And when I'm working, I pay most of the bills. But when I'm not working, like this month, this year, I couldn't cut unemployment from April to June. I asked him to help me. He only gave me $150. And then he came back and gave me $85.
Jackie, I'm sorry. Let's not get sidetracked here, because if you tell us the details, we just won't be able to really help you with it. We can help you from kind of a broader perspective here. So let's get this straight. So you've been married about 2 years, and he got very sick.
Right.
Okay. Is there any connection? Did he change when he got sick? Was he the same before the sickness, or is he
He changed very much. He got, like, in demanding, you know, like he's, like, controlling. Like I said, if I go over to one of my friend's house and I tell him that I'm going over to my friend's house, and then when I leave my friend's house, he want me to call him and let him know that I'm leaving my friend's house, and I might go to the mall or something.
But he wasn't like that before he got sick?
No, he wasn't like that.
Okay. So I think there's a couple of things going on there, Jackie, and so let's tackle them one at a time. Number one, sounds like he's really going through something emotionally here. I mean, this is bigger than just him wanting to be controlling. This is maybe his fear of dying. Maybe it's anger issues with God unresolved. I mean, who the list can be pretty broad, that he's personally going through something. And as a result, you're getting the brunt of it, right? You're getting the way he's grumpy. He's controlling because of these things. So number one is, sounds like he really needs to get help to deal with his issues, his own issues, apart from you. If he left today, you died tomorrow. You know, if he was, he will still have these very same issues because it's him, not you. Okay, so understanding that a lot of times it's the beginning of getting resolved to say, you know what, I don't have to take this personally. This guy's really going through something. Let me pray for him. We get him the help he needs so he can be happier, and
but
he can
you know,
be resolved.
What we did, we tried all that, right? Like when he first got sick and he came home from the hospital, he had a visiting nurse come in visiting. He even told the visiting nurse that he don't trust me.
Okay, well, that goes to this. There's a second issue. Mm-hmm. The second issue is, you know, and the Bible says that out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So he's telling you, he's complaining, basically that's what he's doing to everyone, right? He talks to them and ends up complaining about you. So,
right.
And the Bible is very clear in James chapter 3 about taming the tongue and how with it you could either do great things or destroy in a great way. Your husband, his words are destroying you and destroying the relationship.
That's true. And even I confront him about it. Everybody else confront him about it. It's so bad that one, he calls my pastor and to complain to my pastor about him. My pastor won't even answer the phone because he complains about me all the time, and I'm not doing nothing. All I'm doing is going to work, come home, going to work, come home, because I'm too tired to do anything else.
Exactly. Yeah. But so again, there are two issues here. It's he's dealing with stuff on his own. And then on top of that, you're getting the brunt of it. You're getting the complaining, the attack. I mean, it almost sounds like he's become impossible to live with.
That's right. And I'm to the point right now, I called my lawyer yesterday to come in to get a divorce because I'm sick of it. I can't handle it no more. You know what I mean?
And does he know this?
No, he doesn't know that I'm filing for a divorce.
Okay, well, this is my encouragement to you, Jackie. If this is the route you're going, give him an opportunity to repent first. Say, listen, I'm about to file for divorce because of X, Y, and Z. I can't live with you. You make it impossible to live with X, Y, and Z. I mean, and you might even have to write these things down first so that you'll be clear and be honest. Say, look, you're just impossible. This is what it is. You complain to everyone. You want to control my life. You go down the list.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, it's going to have to be his decision of does he want to change so that you can he can salvage this marriage, or is he going to get even worse and it's going to become clearer that there's just no way you can fix this? Now, one thing I do need to clarify here for you, Jackie, if you divorce him for this reason, the Bible is very clear that it's not so that you can remarry. This is because you'd rather be alone than to. Yeah, I just want to make sure you're clear about that. But then if you decide to do that, but I would say, Jackie, giving him this opportunity, but being firm. Now, I'm not saying to like, you know, bluff this, but to really be firm and saying, listen, I'm filing for divorce because I just can't live this way. I need to live in peace.
Right. Right, because like I said, I'm 6 years old. I'm 2 years older than him. And like I said, I work around a bunch of men. I don't think about these men. All I do is go to work and come home. Like I said, I work 10 hours a day. He don't want me working 10 hours a day.
Nah. He doesn't want you to do a lot of things. He is miserable, and he's making your life miserable. So hopefully my prayer for you, Jackie, is that as you share this, this would be a reality check for him. That he would realize what he's doing and how he's pushing you away and how he'll end up alone if he does not do whatever it takes to fix this marriage. So, yeah, go move forward. Share that with him. The only thing I would say is give him an opportunity to repent before you finalize everything.
Okay. All right.
All right, Jackie. Well, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Oh,
have
God
a
bless.
Day.
Absolutely. You too. Thank you.
All right. Take care. We have time for a few more calls, so give us a call at 855-454-5905.
Yeah, so we do have a few more minutes. If you are on the fence and you're wondering, should I call, or you were having a hard time calling in and getting through earlier, hey, now's the time. We're actually pretty available right now, and you can call us at 855-454-5905. These next few minutes, listen, let's talk about whatever you want. Any comment, any question, anything you want to talk about. We have a few minutes left here on the program. We definitely want to hear from you. And if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Marriage Beyond the Vows. I'm your host, Marcos Mercado. And here with me is Tiffany Bacon. And we're taking your calls. We also will take your question or comments on Facebook. You can visit us at facebook.com/beyondthevows. Or you can even go to praisephilly.com, which is our website, and you can look for me, Marcos Mercado. You can send me a message. You can look for archive shows. And plus, there's a bunch of other amazing things that you can find on our website, praisephilly.com. Mm-hmm. All right, so we started our program today, and our topic was Secret Lover. Is your spouse hiding something from you? And our theme scripture comes from Proverbs 26, all the way from 20 to 28. But I want to emphasize and focus on verse 26 for a minute. It says, their malice will be concealed by deception, but their wickedness will be exposed in the assembly. And why do I share this? Is because God has a way of always exposing sin. I've seen this time and time and time again. You try to hide it. God just, I mean, I believe he just designed it this way. Sin gets exposed. You know, your spouse is hiding. They're chatting with someone on the internet. They thought you'll never know, and all of a sudden pops up, or you get the email by accident or whatever. I knew of a situation, this was pretty crazy, with counseling a couple where the guy had a second phone because he was hiding something. He was having some other, you know, inappropriate conversation, inappropriate relationships with someone, but the phone was identical. So even if he left it lying around, it was like the wife never suspected until she got a call from the phone company because of it. And so, you know, there's always a way. I've been to funerals where, you know, a mistress showed up, other kids showed up. It's like it always comes out. The sin will always be exposed. It might not be when we want it, but it will. You can't mock God. Mm-hmm. The Bible says it. You reap what you sow.
All right. Let's go to the phones. Again, the number is 855-454-5905. We have Lisa calling in from Charlotte. Lisa, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. Hi, Tiffany. Hi, Martha.
Hi. Hey, how are you, morning. Lisa? Good morning. Welcome to Marriage Beyond the Vows.
Thank you. I was listening to a previous caller, Marcus, and I heard you advise her that even though she has an attorney, and she wants to file for divorce, she's going to give him a chance to repent. However, if she becomes divorced, she is not able to remarry. Well, I'm newly divorced, my ex served me with divorce papers. And I know the show's topic today is talking about secrets, and I'm wondering if I would be able to remarry.
Okay, that's a good question. So your husband divorced you?
No. We were having issues. We became separated. I served him twice, and both times, my two times that I tried, the judge denied the divorce.
Wow.
So, like,
what was your reason? Like, your legal reason?
My legal reason? Oh, the judge said that my paperwork was not correct. Like, the first time he said that we had not been separated for a year. The second time, the judge denied it, saying that I did not properly serve him.
Okay, well, but that's my question is, in the divorce, you know, when you served him the divorce paper, what was the subject line? Like, was it for infidelity? Was it because unreconcilable differences? I mean, what was it?
Infidelity.
Okay, infidelity. So he was unfaithful.
Yes.
Okay. And finally, you were able to, you persevere with this and you were able to divorce him. But the reason you decided to leave him was because he was unfaithful.
Yes.
Okay.
We separated, and at first I thought that maybe we could reconcile. We did some counseling. It did not work. And then it got to the point where I knew that, you know, because we were living apart, I knew he was with someone else. So I served him twice. Both of those were denied. Both of those cases were denied. So then on my birthday, I received documentation from him that he had filed for divorce. And I thought, okay, maybe that's good, because I know in Matthews it says if a man wants to leave his wife, if he should serve her with papers, which is where we get the divorce, common divorce from, day, whatever. So I received his paperwork. I waited the time according to his documentation. I went back to the courthouse, and the judge denied his case as well.
Oh, wow.
Like, okay, yes. So then I filed again, and everything went through, and we'll legally divorce.
Okay. All right. Well, a couple of things here. Without all the back and forth, because who knows, maybe God was giving him an opportunity to repent. I look at it that way. I think that, you know, before this divorce could be finalized, God was like, hey, I'm not done yet. I'm giving you an opportunity. But God gives us opportunities, but he also gives us choices. And so he made his choice. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I've been doing this long enough where I've seen miracles happen. I've seen similar to what you're saying, I've seen divorce papers get lost, I've seen people decide, you know, work on their relationship, rip up their divorce papers and make it and be happily married. However, I also see those who just decide or refuse to repent and they suffer the consequences. So in this case, that's what it sounds like to me, Lisa, that your husband refused to repent. God used these different judges multiple times to give him the chance to salvage his marriage, but he just refused. And so at the end of it all, you were able to get divorced. Now, based on what you're saying, and you quoted several scriptures here, including Matthew 5, you know, he divorced you, number one, because he broke the marriage. I mean, yes, you divorced him. Technically, the judge approved your divorce papers, but he also served you. He was the one that stepped out on the marriage.
Yes.
Biblically, from what you're saying is, you know, the Bible says that you shouldn't divorce except for adultery. And so in this case, he was unfaithful. So you're free. Now, the only thing that I would say with this, Lisa, is you still have to give an account of God, and you have to know those situations, and you know them better than anyone else. So you can't go to God and say, well, Marco said this was okay. If you know in your heart of hearts that this is the reason and that you did your best and you tried everything, but this had to end in divorce, but he was the one that stepped out on marriage, then based on what I see in the scriptures, there's no reason why you cannot remarry.
Okay, thank you for that.
You understand? But again, this is really between you and God.
Okay.
But based on what you're telling me, I mean, there's nothing I can see in the scriptures where it says that you're bound to remain married to him even though he was unfaithful and didn't change.
Yes, thank you. You know, what I was feeling was okay, and I prayed about it, and I'll continue to pray because I'm like I said, I'm newly divorced, and I'm not ready to get into anything at all.
Sure.
Then, of course, I welcome it, but this time to proceed with caution. I listen to your show very often before my ex-husband and I were married. We listened to your show every Saturday. That was a part of our routine when we became married, even the same. And anybody that's listening, when you say that marriage exposes things, that is very, very true. The previous caller who's engaged and a husband, or seems to be husband, is going to have to make a decision as far as to be with her or to continue with pornography. I hope she's still listening or to go back and listen to it, the taping of the end of the show. But that was one of the things that my ex-husband was involved in as well, and it got to the point where, although I knew it was wrong, I engaged in watching that as well.
Wow.
That, yes, thinking that this is what he needs to be pleased. And to hear you say that, listen, it's going to get worse, you know, it's a recipe for a divorce, that is very true, because it got to the point where, like, I would catch him watching.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what is going on? And so then he talked to me.
It doesn't get better, right? The Bible is very clear. You reap what you sow. You're not gonna sow sin and lust and have this great relationship. I mean, contrary to what the world would say, I mean, it just does not work.
Right.
You won't have a faithful husband if he's out there indulging in all this lustful, sinful, adulterous behavior. But thank you, Lisa. We really do appreciate your call. All right, absolutely.
Thank you
too.
Bye-bye.
God bless you. Thank you, Lisa. All right, let me just figure out here, producer, how much time we have. We got a couple of minutes here. We have a moment to take one last caller here. We have Annie calling in from Philly. Good morning, Annie.
Good morning, Marcus. I got right on the call, and I think my question is very similar to the previous caller's.
Okay.
The caller before that, you had said, you know, she divorces, she cannot remarry. And my question in my mind was, what if after she divorces her husband, not for adultery, if he remarries, is she then free? I was always a little unclear about that.
Uh-huh. That's good. That's good. You know what? It's interesting. This is a topic that has been debated, and I think I've even heard people preach things that I don't believe are necessarily accurate. There is not one clear-cut answer, and I know some people would disagree with that, but the reason why there's not a clear-cut answer is because the Bible doesn't discuss it in that much detail. We know, for one, that God hates divorce, and marriage is supposed to be until death. We know from Matthew that even God, Jesus himself, when confronted with the question, says, listen, your marriage is for life, but if there's unfaithfulness, that's the only reason for divorce. He also talks about the hardness of heart. So it's never like God's will for people to get married and divorce and then remarry and all that. However, you bring a very valid point, right? If you get divorced and then your spouse becomes unavailable, I could just tell you my opinion as a man is that it's something you're going to have to wrestle with and decide with your clear conscience what the scriptures say to you. Because the scripture that I mentioned when I said she couldn't remarry is 1 Corinthians 7, where it talks about not if your spouse leaves you, but if you divorce them, then you must remain unmarried or unless reconciled with your spouse, with your husband. So I think it's different for every situation. This is what I believe. And again, it's me as a man from where I sit. I believe the Bible gives us a lot of freedom. But that freedom, and this is biblical, it's not to indulge in sin, meaning that we can't be looking for loopholes and we can't treat marriage the way the world treats marriage, which is, hey, if this doesn't work out, I'll just, you know, change spouses. I'll just find someone else. That's the heart that's dangerous. However, I do believe that if someone has that right desire and they're trying to please God, God will make his will very clear to them. Meaning that if that person feels like they cannot remarry, but their spouse moves on and then God sends someone their way. I mean, I've seen it where people have, even though they were torn, they've listened. They believe, hey, God is sending me this person. I don't see any biblical reason why I can't marry them. And they go ahead and get married. And many of them have very great marriages. So that's my opinion. That's how I read it. But I would never tell someone to go against their conscience. And definitely never to go against the scriptures. Does that make sense, Annie?
That makes sense. Thank you.
All right. And like I said, people would probably argue and tell you, I've heard people saying you could never divorce. So even if your spouse is being unfaithful, they can't divorce them. If they're being abused, they can't divorce them. I don't believe that's what the scriptures say. But I also, I am very clear that God hates divorce. This is, it's never a good thing. All righty.
Got it.
Thank you, Annie. Yeah, have a blessed day. Well, we want to say thank you so much. I want to thank Tiffany Bacon, our co-host here, for helping and taking the calls and engaging in conversation here. We also want to thank our producer, Larry. Brother Larry. I won't say Lil Larry. I just say Larry. Larry Fowler, our producer, who does a great job, multitask. You should see him, man. He is just awesome helping us to have an amazing show. And again, we want to thank you because our show would not be possible without you, the listening audience, and the callers who engage in great conversation. We want to thank you. You have a blessed week. We'll be back next Saturday.